you're feeling and what it all means. You could be defensive or open up and share your dreams. You can keep right on denying or face me and start crying. 'Cause this time when I reach out, it may be my last try. Oh baby, baby, I want something real one time before I die.
It's the latest display of rage and despair among Greek society. Threatening to jump off an office building, this woman says she's had enough. She and her colleagues have seen their salaries cut and are facing layoffs as a result of the government's latest austerity plan.
If you're frightened, honey, I'll hold you through your fears. You see, I've had some bad relationships already. I fooled around, I've gone steady. But this time when I reach out, baby, I want something real from you, baby. I want something I don't have to steal. I want something real one time before I die.
Europe is asking too much at the moment. The Greeks are trying to do the best they can as we speak. Of course, there is room for improvement. But what worries the Greeks is the hidden agenda, the things that we have not been told yet.
I'll never get tired. Don't want you to lie, but you're such a beautiful liar.
In the capital, a mass rally was held Wednesday against the planned healthcare reform, another area that's facing a massive funding cut.
They've slashed our salaries, taken our rights away. Since the beginning of the year, we've been unable to get treatments or medicines.
You see, I want something real from you, baby. I want something I don't have to steal. I want something I can really feel. I want something real one time before I die.
Hey, welcome to New World Out of Order. Hey, this episode we're going to be talking about the current debt situation in Greece and the most recent development in the bailout offer or agreement that was actually agreed upon yesterday, February 21st. Current situation in Greece is that their debt ratio is 165% of GDP. They really have no way of, in the current situations, of expecting to get out from under this debt load, even though people might not remember that just 2 years ago, they had a bailout supplied to them as well. Now, there again, I'm not implying that Greece as a country is not capable of managing themselves. The purpose of the podcast is to have people really understand how the World Bank, IMF, and primarily the central banks, how they really operate, and with the goal of trying to gain ultimate control of a country and essentially put them into a state of servitude. And we've got a great example of this as we're looking at with Greece. There's many other countries that we can look at where this has happened to in the past. Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina, the attempts on Venezuela, and most recently the attempt on Iceland, which is a great recovery story that we'll talk about here briefly. But getting back to Greece, yesterday the Troika, as they're being called, which that term is a Russian term for a three horse-drawn wagon, and the three horses in this case are the IMF, the European Central Bank, and the European Community. They're the ones who have actually formulated this agreement and also the terms of this agreement, which were agreed upon by the government of Greece yesterday. Now, what I'm going to kind of go over the agreement here. Here are some of the general terms. There's, you know, with these particular agreements, the detailed terms of these loans or bailouts are never fully disclosed. But here are the general terms that were issued yesterday. Greece will undertake to reduce its debt to 120% of GDP by 2012. So 8 years, they're going to drop it by 40% of GDP. Private holders of Greek debt will take losses of 53.5% on the value of their bonds, with the real losses likely to be as much as 70%. Now, for you know people who are up to speed and understand how the IMF and the central banks work, then you probably picked up on that statement right away. And for the people that really aren't up to speed on how these guys operate yet, here's the key phrase in that sentence there. Private holders. I'll reread this here real quick. Private holders of Greek debt will take losses of 53.5%, with the real loss being incurred experienced as much as 70%. Now, private holders is the term there. Who is excluded from the being a private holder is the important part. The people who are excluded from that are the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Federal Reserve, any large central bank. They are excluded. So in other words, if they currently hold Greek debt, in other words, Greek treasury bonds, then they will not incur any losses on those. Now, if you're another organization, such as a private investment firm who might be investing for your clients with their retirement plan or whatever, and you purchase Greek bonds, you will lose up to 70% of your investment. If you are Greek citizens, individual citizens, who elected to invest in your company, in your country, by purchasing your country's treasury bonds, you will lose up to 70% on your investment. Any other entity, like say besides the IMF, the World Bank, the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, anyone besides those will lose up to 70%. Now, the real meaning behind that statement there. Okay, one of the next term is that Greece's economic management will be subjected to permanent monitoring by European zone experts on the ground. Okay, that's not a problem, except that we know that what they're really going to be monitoring are not necessarily... they're going to be monitoring the ability for Greek to be able to pay these loans back. But what they should be monitoring, what's implied, is that they're going to be monitoring the restructuring of the management of the country's economics so that this situation is never incurred again. Now, that is implied, but that, if you understand how they work, that is not going to be enforced. That's what the last thing that they do want. They want to make sure that Greek can never get out of this debt, which is if you can remember 2 years ago was the first bailout of Greece. It was 110 billion euros 2 years ago. Well, you know the current relief is 130 billion euros, and all this is doing is covering is buying a little bit of time to pay off the interest obligations on the existing debt. And it goes back to common sense here, people. If you are in a debt situation that you're trying to remedy, the last thing that you do is to go get more debt. So, and you know, in fact, when you're younger and, you know, just a little less disciplined and a little wild, you know, if you have a credit card debt that's getting a little bit out of control and you know, just the minimum payments you can't even hardly make, you might go to one of these debt consolidators to where you consolidate, you know, those multiple credit cards perhaps into one debt, which can be more easily afforded. In other words, when they say more easily afforded, but the monthly required payments are more easily afforded. Now, the long-term ultimate payback amount is unrealistic. And of course, most people that are doing this, they're not looking at that. They're looking at just what they can afford for this month. And that's exactly what's happening here, is that they're making it to where their monthly obligations or their payment obligations are attainable. But in the long term, what they have to actually pay back is that they'll never be able to get out from under this. So but there again, common sense tells you that you do not get out of debt by getting more debt. If you have loans you can't pay off, you don't go get more loans. But that's what they're doing here. So and people say, well, it's a whole lot more to it. It's a lot more complicated. Well, yes, but the principle, the concept of it is, I don't care if you're an individual or if you're a country as big as the United States, the bottom line is if you are in debt, you do not get out of debt by going and purchasing or getting more loans. That doesn't work. So now the last term here in the agreement was Greece will set up a special account managed separately from its main budget that must always contain enough money to service its debt for the coming 3 months. Well, they're going to set up a separate account, and it's managed separately from its main budget. So now what they're not telling you here is how that account is going to be funded. And how it's going to be funded is through, and I can just tell you this by my understanding of how this operates. If you follow this story into the future, you'll see where this account is going to be funded by citizens' taxes, the taxes on citizens, and indirectly, it's going to be funded by the incredible amount of inflation that's going to be incurred as well. So with that said, you know, that's so we understand now Greek is on their number two bailout, and what they're trying to do is, here's the problem: they're in a dire debt situation. So what their remedy is to go out and get more loans to get further into debt. Okay, that's the real situation. It's ridiculous. Okay, why would they do this? Well, they're doing this because they're being essentially forced to. Whenever you get in the grips of the IMF or the World Bank or the European Central Bank, you're not going to get out. The terms that they come in with are just unbelievable and are designed to where you won't be able to escape. Now, unfortunately, in order for these the governments of these countries to agree to this stuff, when you know it's just so obvious that it's not the right thing to do, is that the leaders of the government they are in on it. Okay, you know, to what degree they're in on it enough to where they accept these situations. And you can use your own imagination. You can actually use your own ability to go out there and research and see how these people benefit. Personally, I don't really care about that. It's obvious that this is what happens. So anyway, once you get into that situation, you cannot get out of it. Well, actually, let me go back here real quick. I forgot to mention the most important one. This is one I was actually saving for last. The most important and outrageous term of this agreement is, now listen carefully to this, is that, now they've already agreed to do this now, Greece will amend its constitution to give priority to debt repayments over the funding of government services. Now that is absolutely huge, and if I'm a Greek citizen, I'm absolutely livid about this, that our government agreed to this. They are going to amend the Greek constitution that says the government's spending priorities are first with repaying its debt over actually to funding of the services to which the government is in existence. That's the whole reason for their existence. Like I say, if you're not really attuned to this, you might say, well, it's not too bad. I got to make sure there's some assurances they're going to be paid back. You're right. Whenever you do make a loan, there's assurances you may pay back. You have to put up collateral to where if you don't pay back, hey, the lending company or the lending institution is going to give something of value of equal or greater value to the loan. That's what they do. Okay, and then in this situation, they're loaning a large amount of money to an entity that has proven to be negligent in its ability to manage its own finances. Okay, so what did they do? Well, that's the third term that we just went over, is that the economic management, Greece's economic management, will be subjected to permanent monitoring by the Eurozone. So they put that in place already. In other words, they already have the ability to sit there and monitor and make sure that you're doing the things that you need to do to generate and retain this money so that you can pay off your debt. Okay, so there's no need for a constitutional amendment, and this is extremely serious here. Now, the purpose for the constitutional amendment is not specifically for present-day loan repayment concerns. It's for future. Because now you have to understand, in order to have this amendment put into the Constitution, this is law. This makes sure you have to, the primary purpose of government is to provide the people with specific services, right? And in order to do that, they have to fund those services, and they do that by collecting taxes, right? Well, now they're still going to collect the taxes, but the priority for those, for the purpose of those taxes that are collected is not to pay for the government services that are provided to the people. Now it is to pay for these loans that are being made by these loan sharks, the IMF and the European Central Bank. Now, it's a constitutional amendment, but this is what you have to understand. 50 years from now, it's a constitutional amendment. This is what you have to do. You have to do this. Now, the thing is that you're in a current situation, economic situation, that it seems bad. It's nowhere near as bad as what it's going to be 20 and 30 years from now. Now, this puts Greece an ultimate, absolute state of servitude towards the banks. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And you have to understand, this agreement has already been approved by the government of Greece. And in order for it to be approved by it, the people, it had to be approved by the parliament, who are the people who are going to vote on whether the amendment is actually put into place. So if you understand that, you understand that the voting process has already essentially taken place. They've already agreed that they would put the amendment in. So there's going to be very little resistance. Whatever resistance there's going to be there is not going to be enough to prevent the amendment from going in. Now, if you think an amendment is hard to put in place, it is. It is very hard to put in place. But not in this case. They already have a pre-approval, if you will. It's going to go in place. Now, the repeal of an amendment is as hard or harder than the amendment itself. This will never be taken out. And this is my speculation here. This amendment will never be taken out. It will always be there, and it states that they will always be a country of servitude to the banks. Now, if you've kind of been tuned in to, you know, the operation, the agenda of the Rothschild, you know, one world government, one world economy, their central banking, and you'll understand that what they're trying to do is to essentially have one ultimate control of the economy and the governments, one world government. This is how this is one way of how they're doing it. Now, this is going to be followed up. Now, if you know, for people who think that Greece is an exception, no, they're not. Most other countries, European countries, are in extreme financial situations and facing bankruptcy, as well as the United States is. And we're talking about Portugal, Spain, Italy, even Japan and Asia, and now Iceland as well. Now, Iceland is one that they are on recovery. Now, here's one that you need to look at. So you have two options here. If you're in a bad situation, the reason it came about was, you know, the collapse of the world financial markets because of the credit default swaps. Okay. And, that was by design. Okay. They needed to have every country get into a situation to where they can't sustain themselves. Okay. So they have to reach out for help. if you remember back, it's been about a year ago, right after, shortly after, maybe not a year ago, but shortly after Christine Lagarde was appointed the head of the International Monetary Fund, they were looking at actually the Greek situation, and she made a public statement, which I believe she's tried to retract since then. But anyway, she made the public statement that the International Monetary Fund has the resources to bail out any and all countries, and actually I think that she implied European countries, but she actually said all countries that need to be bailed out. In other words, they had enough money to where they can bail out all countries. And if you know how they operate, they really do. Okay. But then since then, and most recently, you know, she's come back and she said that, hey, the IMF does not have the resources to bail out Greece. Okay. It's being strained on its resources. And therefore, the member countries, we're going to have to ask more of the member countries. In other words, the member countries, countries that are members of the IMF, they pay a certain amount to the IMF every year, millions of dollars, in order to be a member. And to and it's supposedly a, you know, a charitable cause where, hey, all these countries are giving in case anybody needs help, then the money's going to be there and they can go help them, right? Well, now they're saying, hey, we don't have the resources, and then we need each one of these other countries to come up and to increase their input. And of course, the people that are in the individual countries that are responsible for their membership in the IMF, of course, they're all part of this. And sure, they're going to up the value that's going to go. That's the flow of the money in towards you know, these banks. The perception that they don't have the money, the perception that they're doing good and they're helping out these other countries and they're spending money, so they need some help to do this, which it's just, it's all about funneling the money towards these central banks. And so anyway, it's just unbelievable. If you look at Iceland, 2007, I think Iceland was about one of the first countries to experience a bankruptcy. And they had, they were approached by the IMF and they were offered a loan, assistance program. What Ireland did, which was different, is that they just didn't have their government vote within themselves on whether to do this or not. They actually had a referendum for the public, and the public came back and said no. So I'm actually going to assume here that the public was provided with enough information to understand how to vote on this, to understand which way that they, you know, should vote. In order to vote on something, you've got to understand, you know, what's the repercussions if I do or if I don't, if this thing gets approved or if it doesn't get approved. Well, I'm assuming they were provided enough information, or they took it upon themselves to go out and gather the information. But anyway, they decided to turn down the IMF and to say, no, we don't want, in fact, we're going to kick these bankers out of here. They allowed their big banks to fail. There was no bailout for the big banks. They allowed them to fail. And of course, they knew their money was going to be deflated. And it was. They went into a period of extreme inflation, which they are still experiencing. But they have recovered. Their GDP is now like 4. The economy is growing at a rate of like 4.7% a year, which is one of the highest in the world right now, or one of the highest in the non-Asian world, and their debt load has been drastically reduced. They're recovering at a phenomenal rate. Now, you must understand, the individuals, the citizens of Iceland, took a hit. They definitely took a hit. The current generation took a very big hit. Now, but you understand, look at what they're talking about in Greece with the austerity measures, and of course, over in the United States with the different term for the austerity measures, which was the QE2, the quantitative easing 2. They had quantitative easing 1 and they had quantitative easing 2. That's another term for austerity measures, which is another term for, you know, you're paying, the citizens are going to pay for the government's mistakes. And but in actuality, there were no mistakes in the government. They were doing things exactly how they meant to do it. So, in other words, they, you know, if you look at Greece, at what what the citizens are going to have to endure with the privatization of the companies. The prices on those services that they want to privatize are going to go up. And if you don't believe that, go back and look at the history of Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Argentina. Look at the countries in Zaire and Africa. Most of the African nations have pretty much been destroyed by the IMF. Look at Haiti as well. So the proof is out there. What's going to happen is the citizens are going to suffer tremendously, okay? But they're not just going to suffer for a short period. They're going to suffer for essentially forever until people like me and you stand up and prevent this kind of stuff from happening. Okay, they're going to suffer forever. Now, the citizens of Iceland, I'm assuming that they understood this. Here now, we take a big hit now, and we recover in 5 years or 10 years, and we're good. Or we take a big hit now, and we continue with that big hit forever. Once you get under the control of these banks like this, there is no getting out. The resolution then becomes much more difficult and probably a little bit more undesirable. What's the requirements to resolve that situation? And Iceland, I think I said Ireland a few minutes ago, apologize for that. It's we're talking about Iceland, the citizens of Iceland, elected to shun the IMF, and look at their recovery. What they've done, do not read the mainstream media. The mainstream media is going to sit there, and their stories are going to be biased towards everybody's personal situation and how miserable they are. Right? Well, they're going to go pick out the worst ones, and I'm not going to lie to you. The people have suffered over there. They have suffered with the loss of their net worth, just like we have in the United States, drastically. Although the inflation that the people in Iceland occurred, and the people that in all the countries that the IMF has helped out, that type of inflation was substantial, and it has not hit the United States yet, but it will. But if you ask the stories that I read about Iceland from the alternative news sources, indicate that yes, the people have suffered. Did the people regret it? Would they change their mind? And most of them are saying no. These are even the ones. There was even an MIT graduate that was been out of work in Iceland, and lost his house, and he would not change it. No, he would not change it because they know they can see the results now. The recovery right now this year or 2011 was just phenomenal from what I've read. But you have to weed through the sour grass there to find out the real story of that recovery. So when you go out there and start looking, stay away from the mainstream media on that one. So anyway, that's the alternative. Now we had that choice back when the United States had that choice back when they elected to bail out the big banks. And if bailing out the big banks was not the right thing to do, and we all know that now, we should have let them fail. Yes, it would have hurt our economy. And there again, that's where a lot of people are going to listen to this and say, well, Iceland was such a small country that with such an insignificance in the global economic situation as far as their kronas is concerned, their money, that it wasn't as big as the impact as it would be for the United States. And you're right there. You're absolutely right there. That is true. But this is what you have to understand is, do you want that sudden impact, and then the road to recovery starting at the same time, or do you want this a little bit more drawn out impact with no road to recovery? And that's essentially what we're on right now. So we bailed out the banks, and if you look at the situation with bailing out these banks, okay. Now, we're talking about these large banks. Now, these large banks are part owners of central banks, like Federal Reserve and European central banks. And we're talking about Chase, Citibank, Barclays, those big banks. Those banks, those are the banks that actually create the fake money that's actually injected into the economies of these countries when they when they issue the treasury bonds. Okay, so now they created the fake money. Now here they are that says they need the bailout, and so they have the government give them money that they gave the government the money in the first place, and with a interest rate on top of it. Okay, so they made up something and said, hey, you owe us now 110% of nothing. Okay, but it's really 110% of $10 billion or whatever. All right, but then the government turns around and gives that money back to them. They don't give the debt back. They just give the 100% to them. And then what happens is those banks take that money and then loan it back to other banks, other countries, at interest. Now, do you see the escalation of money there? And that's an extreme money laundering, situation. It's just when you actually think about it, and it takes some time to actually think about it and get your head wrapped around how this all works. It's absolutely mind blowing what they're doing, and to the extremes that they go to do this stuff. But there again, that's their business. That is their business. Keep an eye on the Greek situation. Go out there and look into, check out my website. By the way, I'm actually revitalizing my website. My main site is up now. It's still under construction, so please bear with me. But it is, nwo3.com. Now, the nwo3.com/blog is still there, but I'm going to redo it into a full-fledged just blog. So if you've been relying on that, the blog site for my articles and stuff, please migrate back over to the primary site, nwo3.com. And that's where you're going to get the articles and be able to access the podcast, and also lots and lots of other things. We'll have a lot of resources on there. Some book reviews. We're going to have, alternative media sources and, daily stories being updated there. So please check it out, and pardon the I'm instilling the construction phrase on that, so kind of bear with me for a few more days on that one. So anyway, we're going to put all this information out here. Go out there and do your homework. There again, I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm just asking you for me to inspire some curiosity that, hey, what I'm saying might be the truth. Go out there and look into the efforts and the results of the IMF and World Bank intervention into Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina. Look at the Iceland situation. Look at the countries in Africa. And those are the ones that are really suppressed. That even in the alternative media, they just haven't gathered that much interest. And I'm not sure why, but a lot of countries are being destroyed or repressed by the IMF and the World Bank over there. And also look at Haiti as well. Haiti's just been abused so much over the years. But anyway, listen, guys, I appreciate you listening in, and we'll catch you next time, and take care.